Set good songs as custom ringtones for people you don't like. This way, when they call, you can enjoy the song while ignoring them.
Coffee grounds will make old pants look brand new. Rub grounds all over the pants, then go out to dinner with your parents. They'll feel bad for you and buy you new pants.
Trust people who like big butts. They cannot lie.
Every pizza is a personal pizza, if you try hard to believe in yourself.
It's funny that pirates were always going around searching for treasure. They never realized the real treasure was the fond memories they were creating.
I'm pretty sure this is from the Book of Proverbs. Never half-ass two things, whole-ass one thing. That'll change your life.
Hi friends, my name's Elise and I'm on staff here with the high school ministry. Do I have any high school leaders in here tonight? That's right, it's a fun group. If you want to be a high school leader, come talk to me. Thank you for having me here tonight. I'm really excited to talk to you guys about our life hack tonight, which is FOMO. I remember the first time I heard the term FOMO. For those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, FOMO stands for the fear of missing out. Urban Dictionary defines it as the mental or emotional strain caused by the fear of missing out. Evolutionary biology, an omnipresent anxiety brought on our cognitive ability to recognize potential opportunities. The brothers had last slice FOMO as they stared at what was left of the pizza. A desire to do something typically accompanied by unease, and a form of social anxiety, a compulsive concern that one might be missing out on an opportunity or satisfying event, often aroused by posts on social media websites. So I remember the first time I heard this term. I don't remember who told it to me. It was probably a high school student, because that's how I learned most of things like this, or what the circumstances were, but I remember how I felt. At first, I felt almost relief or satisfaction because there had been this term or concept for something that I had been feeling, that enough people felt this way that it became a thing now, that I wasn't alone in that anxiety and that fear. Someone else knew what I felt. But then after that, I felt disgust and frustration and disappointment. After realizing that this was something that plagued me, I hated that there was a term, a pop culture term, to identify and broadcast one of my biggest insecurities. I had the idea in my head that I was this strong, independent woman that needed nobody ever. And all of a sudden, this small voice in my head craving approval and friendship from other people came crashing down on me, and I hated it. FOMO works out in like two basic ways. First, FOMO is a feeling and compulsion to never say no to a social event or gathering, in fear that you might miss something incredibly amazing. It's when you're exhausted at the end of the week and you want nothing more than to come home, watch Grey's Anatomy or whatever show you like, and fold your laundry and have a quiet night, and then you get a text saying, hey, everyone's getting together at this person's house, you should come. Enter FOMO. FOMO tells you, you have to go or you're gonna miss out. You have to go or they'll have a great time without you and they won't invite you back next time. You have to go or they realize they don't want you around and you'll lose all your friends. You have to go because the inside joke that'll come from tonight will go on and on forever and you will be on the outside. I'm sure most of us have been in this situation before. When was the last time that you felt compelled to go out, attend this party, spend this extra cash because you didn't want to miss out on something? Or have you changed plans last minute? I've done this. Because you got a different invitation and you are more afraid of missing out on what they were doing than what these people were doing? It's bad. This form of FOMO has led me to make plans every night of the week, forcing me to ignore things in my home like laundry or just the state of my room. A sign that I've been doing too much is when my room is out of control. There's clothes and water bottles and books and shoes scattered about, and when I do finally get home from whatever event I'm at, I have to make a path and hop over things so I can actually get to my bed. It's when I don't take care of myself after a long day and decide I'll go to the Goose and hang out with everyone after Sank. Don't miss out. That's FOMO type one. Type two is a little different. This type of FOMO is a bit more painful. First kind of FOMO will wear you out and leave you exhausted and tempt you to ignore the boring but essential things, taxes, in your life. This other FOMO makes you feel awful. This FOMO happens when you're home and you're doing whatever you do at home and you look on Instagram or Snapchat and you see people you know, friends of yours, out all having fun without you. FOMO is that awful, gut-dropping feeling when you realize you've been left out. It's rejection. It's a perceived fear turned into reality. It's when you go to pay your roommate on Venmo for PG&E and then you see that 10 minutes before a bunch of friends paid each other with fun emojis like the dancing girl or the wine or the sushi. It's the feeling when you think you've been uninvited, unwanted, or forgotten. And regardless of the circumstances of that night, maybe you didn't want to go out anyways, or one of the people there is so annoying that you would have turned it down because you just can't, or the circumstances of the gathering, maybe these people just needed time, just them, or they all found themselves in one place, or they got invited by someone who doesn't know you, so they didn't know to invite you. None of that matters. All that matters is that in that moment, you were uninvited and you feel like crap. There's plenty to be said about the first type of FOMO. We could talk about learning to live a balanced life, learning to say no when you need to, and if that's something you struggle with, John Ortberg just did a sermon a couple weeks ago about it, and he says it better than I will, so go ahead and listen to that. But that's not what I want to focus on tonight because John just did it. I want to talk about the second kind of FOMO. I want to talk about what FOMO says about us and what God's answer to it is. And if you're one of the lucky people that have never felt this, tell me your secret. But don't zone out because I might have something for you too. So why do we feel fear or anxiety when we're not included? Well, first, the simplest and most neutral answer is that we're built for community. We're built to live life with other people. God created us in a way that we need and want other people in our lives. Even the most introverted person still needs people in their life. They might be tired, they might totally wear them out, but they'll just need a nap afterwards. They still need people in their lives. The book of Psalms, there's this psalm about community that the people of Israel would sing as they made their way to Jerusalem. Psalm 133, and it says, "Look at how good and pleasing it is when families live together as one. It is like expensive oil poured over the head, running down the beard, Aaron's beard, which extended all over his collar onto his robes. It is like the dew on Mount Hermon, streaming down the mountains of Zion, because it is there that the Lord has commanded the blessing, everlasting life." The Israelites would sing this together for a reminder of how good it was to be in community, caring for one another, and living out their faith together, for families to be living together as one big family and not separate families. They would be singing this during a long journey, a kind of road trip to Jerusalem, so they probably needed that reminder at the end of the trip because usually by the end of a road trip, you're annoyed with whoever's with you. And you might be thinking, there's like weird imagery in that, like oil being poured on your head and not knowing why you would want that. I try to keep oil off my head as much as possible and use a lot of dry shampoo. No one else does. But it was a different time and they didn't know about dry shampoo. Then oil would have been a sign of God's presence, a symbol of the Spirit of God. And here specifically, they're talking about anointing oil. Something that would mark a person as a priest. The priests were people's mediators between them and God. The author wants us to see each other as our own priests, as God's anointed, to be set apart for service for one another. we can represent God to each other, and our relationships take on a new significance when we see God working in that person, when you acknowledge that God is using them in your life to make you more like him. Author Eugene Peterson wrote this book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, and he mentions this psalm and what it means to live life in community. And there's a quote I want to read to you guys about him talking about the last line of the psalm. He says, "Where relationships are warm and expectancies fresh, we are already beginning to enjoy the life together that we will be will be completed in our everlasting." Which means that heaven is nothing quite so much as a good party. Assemble in your imagination all the friends that you enjoy being with most, the companions who evoke the deepest joy, your most stimulating relationships, the most delightful of shared experiences, the people with whom you feel completely alive. That is a hint of heaven. For there God commands the blessing, ordains eternal life. We're made to be together, we're made to support one another, and we get the tiniest taste of heaven when we surround ourselves with people who know us and care about us. When we take the time to get to know somebody else and become an encouraging and faithful friend. What can you do to create a little bit of heaven for someone else? How can you draw people in? If you're missing out on community, chances are there are other people around you who are feeling the same void, hoping to find a place to belong, a place to be known. It's more than just find people to be adjacent to. I'm sure most of us have been in the room. Some of you are in this room feeling this way, filled with people and still felt lonely, like you were missing something. Because we want to be known. We want to be living life together with people. So what can you do to step out of that FOMO? You can invite a friend to dinner. You can offer to help someone move. I'm moving in a week and a half. You can join a life group. If you're in a life group, you can find ways to do life together. I've heard of life groups at Sanctuary who find fun and creative ways to do life together, from game nights to Bible study nights, and it's awesome. I remember when I was in college, I went to school in the Midwest, and I grew up in Southern California, so I already had culture shock being in Indiana. And when I was there, I didn't know anybody, and I felt really awkward, and everyone knew who I was because I was a girl from California. And we had this thing pretty early on in the year called a pick-a-date. I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with this concept, but you get your roommate a date for like this group outing. It's awkward, it's whatever. So I had someone else find me a date, obviously. Well, they're supposed to, and I didn't know anybody. And I got paired up with this guy named Shane, and he was strange. Hi, Shane. And the date was that we had to pick draw from a bag a name of a famous couple, and then we had to pretend to be them and get other people to figure out who we were. We got Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton. I don't know if you guys remember this, but when they were together, she wore a vial of his blood on a necklace. I don't know how to act that out. It was awkward and uncomfortable, and all of a sudden I'm forced to do this weird thing with this weird guy with a bunch of other people that I don't know. But I laughed so hard that night, and eventually Shane became one of my best friends. Rocky start, but eventually we got there where we can be together and be honest with each other and have fun together. There are a lot of places for us to find and create community here and in work and the rest of your life. But when that's missing, when our community is broken, it feels wrong. That's when we start to feel FOMO. We feel FOMO because we think we've been kicked out of the circle, the community, even if it's just for that night, and especially when it's not true. And this FOMO speaks loudly. It says false things like you are unwanted, you don't have friends, or that you're a loser. A simple night at home can turn into a horrible night of loneliness if we let FOMO be the only voice in our head. Social media can really like be the driving case for this. It's why in Urban Dictionary, that's what it really is. There's a ton of, if you search hashtag FOMO on Instagram, a ton of posts come up. A few years back, I remember I was going out with some friends. We're going to go to dinner and a movie, and as with people I enjoyed being around, people I liked to be around all the time, and we were laughing and having a good time. And then I got a Snapchat. Anyone Snapchat? Yeah? Some of you? It's this weird app that you send pictures that disappear. So I got a Snapchat from another friend who was maybe going to meet up with us later, but it was of a dinner of other people all hanging out that were my friends too. And for a moment, I was like, I didn't know about that. Why wasn't I invited? I was with the people I prefer to be with. I wouldn't have said yes to their dinner. But for a split second, I was mad because I didn't feel included or invited. Mindy Kaling, in her book, Is Everyone Hanging Out Without Me?, talks about the same kind of thing. She had an awkward transition from high school to middle school, and her friend shifted, and one day she was hanging out with her new friend. She saw all her former friends hanging out at Cheesecake Factory without her. That was like their thing. And she says she's going down the escalator, and she was with the person she wanted to be with, but still seeing her friends do the thing they used to do, and she wasn't invited, made her sad, made her feel rejected. And she just kind of had this look on her face. And her friend, acknowledging what was going on, said, "You can go hang out with them if you want." And in that moment, she snapped out of it. She realized, "I'm good. I don't need to go hang out with her." And she went on to have a wonderful Friday night. No matter the circumstances, the people involved, or the perception of what's going on, FOMO can lie to us and tell us that we're rejected, that we aren't worth other people's time, that I'm a horrible person that no one wants around, and that I deserve to be left out. So when we feel that, we need someone to snap us out of it, someone to offer us unconditional love and understanding. We need to hear God's voice to snap us out of FOMO. And if we're always wanting another person to snap us out of it, to chase the pain away of rejection and all that, we will always be chasing away the pain and rejection. Friends come and go, people can be mean and dumb, and the only real antidote for FOMO is having a relationship with Jesus and hearing what he has to say to you. And as you probably have guessed at this point, this is something that I struggle with. And it's been the hardest thing for me to understand and internalize myself. I struggle with hearing and believing what God has to say to me about who I am and where my value is. And I know the battle of hearing the lies of FOMO and rejection and trying to battle that with what God says about us. And far too often, I let those lies win and I believe them. So here are some of God's answers to FOMO's lies, because we're going to hear them, so might as well have God's answers to it. When FOMO tells me that I am unwanted, God wants to tell me I have a place in his family. Ephesians 1 says, God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless in God's presence before the creation of the world. God destined us to be his adopted children through Jesus Christ because of his love. This was according to his good will and plan to honor his glorious grace that has been given to us freely through the Son whom he loves. We have been ransomed through his Son's blood, and we have forgiveness for our failures based on his overflowing grace, which he poured over us with wisdom and understanding. God wants you to be in his family. God has a place for you in his kingdom, and he did a whole lot to make that happen. You have been adopted and made a part of this wonderful big family. So when you feel unwanted, remember whose family you're actually a part of. When FOMO tells me I'm all alone, God wants to tell me that he never leaves me. When Jesus was talking to his disciples about what would happen after he wasn't with them anymore, he says this, "Whoever loves me will keep my word. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever doesn't love me doesn't keep my words. The words that you hear isn't mine. It is the word of the Father who sent me. I have spoken these things to you while I am with you. The companion, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of everything I told you. So when you think you're alone, remember that the Holy Spirit is there to comfort you and remind you that you are loved. We have access to the Holy Spirit all the time. I think the lie that I believe most is that people just don't want me around and don't like me. It's hard and exhausting to maintain that lie in my head. When I'm not in a good place, I can overthink every interaction, every reaction, everything that happens to the point where I think no one likes me and no one wants me around. And mind you, this is all in my skewed version of reality. No one is actually doing anything to make me feel this way. I haven't taken into account that the people around me are actually my friends and probably do want me around, but I have believed this lie that they don't. When that lie stuck in my head, it's all I can hear. And a couple years ago, I was really struggling and believing that lie more than anything else. And I was getting to the point where I didn't even like me, so why would anyone else want to be around me? My best friend, who very graciously stood by me through all the tears and frustration, comforted me through this season and gave me a really thoughtful Christmas present that year that has repeatedly reminded me of what's true. She gave me this beautiful framed Bible verse that hangs on my wall. So when FOMO tells me that no one likes me or wants me around, God wants me to know He wants to be with me. The verse is from Zephaniah, and it's when the prophet is talking about God restoring Israel, and it says this: "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who to save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love, and He will exalt you over you with loud singing." God, who repeatedly had to rescue Israel, looked forward to the day when He would be in perfect harmony with His people, when there'd be no judgments against them, no more enemies to destroy them. And that's what the prophet's talking about here. And here's the cool thing. That God that wanted to do that for Israel is our God that wants to do that for you. He's made a way for us to have harmony with Him, to have the judgments taken away from us, to use us in the lives of our enemies instead of having them against us. When Jesus came, He made that all possible for you and me. So we can be excited about that God is mighty to save us, that He wants to rejoice with us, that He wants to quiet us with His love and sing over us. My favorite part of that verse is that God can quiet me with His love. I need to be quiet sometimes. I need to stop talking about how horrible I think I am and let God's love shut me up so I can enjoy the gladness of Him. When I get my value of from who I hang out with and how often I have plans, I'll never be fulfilled. There will always be people who don't want me around, and there will always be people that forget to invite me or other invites that don't get extended. And that's no one's fault. It just is. So we have to shift where we find our worth to what God says about us instead of what other people say about us, and spend time with Him. There's this book that came out last year called Uninvited, and it talks all about this. And one of the sections I underlined to remind myself was this: my identity must be anchored to the truth of who God is and who He is to me. Only then I'll find a stability beyond what my feelings will ever allow. The closer I align my truth with His truth, the more closely I identify with God, and the more my identity really is in Him. God's truth is that you are loved, you are invited into His family, and He's glad you're here. God wants to be your Father, your comforter, your everything. FOMO reminds us that we are missing something. We're either missing out on the love that God gives us and potentially missing out on the community around us. FOMO is a symptom of a broken community and a broken relationship with God. So don't miss out on the love God gives you and that Jesus made possible. Don't miss out on creating good and healthy community around you. Don't let FOMO affect the way you see others or the people who you're feeling FOMO'd about. Use it to draw close to God and share it with those around you. And don't forget to go to the Goose tonight, or you might miss out on something. Just kidding. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the invitation to your family and to be with you. God, I pray that as we go through our week, that we be reminded that what you have to say about us is more important than anybody else. Lord, I pray that the lies of FOMO be silenced and that we can live with you with joy and gladness. Amen.